Morning, everybody. This is News Radio 94.9 890 KDXU. It's Wednesday and time for Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. Here's Richard and Kaylee. Apparently, the microphones aren't on there. Let's see if we can make some. Are you there, Kaylee? Can we hear you? Not hearing anything. All right, let's do this. Let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we'll have a Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. Stay with us, folks.
Every weekday morning at 9 a.m., Andy Griffin brings in the most relevant guests.
From Washington, D.C., it's U.S. Congressman Chris Stewart on the show.
Tackles the top issues.
BLM is trying to tell me who I am and what I feel and what I think, and they're just flat out wrong.
And lets your voice be heard.
If we turn on the game and any of the BYU players kneel, I'm done.
That's the Andy Griffin Show.
That means go.
Every morning at 9 a.m. on News Radio 94.9, 890 KDXU.
All right, good morning and welcome to Southern Utah's first and only elder care radio program. We figured out the
audio glitch.
Problem. Yeah, the audio glitch. So we are ready to move forward.
Right. Well, let's expand on what it means to be the only elder care radio program here in Southern Utah. To further explain what that means to Southern Utah listeners, we are Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. We are your one-stop resource for all things seniors may need. There's never any obligation or cost for information. We help you navigate the very difficult healthcare system. We answer questions, and we help you find the available resources both locally and often nationally.
And Pathway is a family-owned and operated, licensed and certified by Medicare and Medicaid. And in addition, we are fully accredited by ACHC, which is the Accreditation Commission on Healthcare. That means that our operating standards exceed Medicare's minimum requirements. Not all of our competitors can say that.
Right. Many people don't realize the plethora of available resources. If only you knew they were there and how to access them. We welcome your calls and questions. We are here to help. Call us at 435-477-6999 or go on to our website at pathwayhospicecare.com. We look forward to hearing from you. We enjoy the community phone calls.
So it's time to recap. We've covered a number of things today. And so based upon the calls that we've received, we've got some very interesting calls. Just yesterday we had three of them. And it reminds us again that we often engage in conversations, but we don't always hear everything that's being said. So yesterday we received those calls, and they were all situations where the parties believed they understood what palliative care was, but as we started to explore the possibilities, it quickly became evident that they heavily underestimated what a robust palliative program could be. They weren't aware of all the aspects of palliative care that we offered, and so it was an enlightening conversation.
Well, and I talked to two of the callers yesterday, and I found it a little difficult. I really did, because for the first time, it really, truly hit home to me how difficult that conversation about hospice or palliative care is to the doctor. Here's what happened, and Andy, I'm going to ask you a question and see how you feel about this. So I had a phone call. I had two phone calls. It was interesting. Both phone calls yesterday, two different people, two different parties, one dealing with questions regarding a father-in-law and one having questions regarding a mother. The scenario went like this. The doctors had mentioned the word hospice in both situations. They also mentioned palliative care in both scenarios. The questions coming to me was, first and foremost, they started out with, we are not ready for hospice, so we just want to explore palliative care. And that was a tough one for me because in my heart, I wanted to say, you can avoid the understanding of what the doctor just said to you, but it won't change that once you fight the fight, no matter how long you continue to push that very large boulder up a hill, you are not going to change the outcome. So, Andy, if you were on that phone and you don't have a relationship with me, would you want me to be clear about that or not? And the reason I say that is I really found it hard to be very direct. And yet we answer those questions, but I didn't feel like I had a relationship with these two callers enough to say, hey, if your doctor said hospice, the definition of that word isn't going to change. It means that there's no cure.
Yeah. I think, you know, looking at the scenario, I think that we don't want to believe what the doctor says. I can tell you in my own personal life, I just had an experience with this, and right up until the last maybe 2 or 3 days, we're like, oh, no, you're not going to die. It's not going to happen. And so, boy, to answer your question, would I want you to be bluntly honest? I don't know, Kaylee. I look at it and I go, okay, we need to face the truth. But at the same time, I mean, we kind of live in this world where it's not really going to happen. It's not really going to happen. So
right.
I don't know that I have a good answer.
So the hard part for me was hearing the question and knowing that they're asking the question, but not really having a relationship strong enough to say, okay, you're asking me this question, but do you want to hear it? Do you want to hear that if the doctor said hospice, that means that they don't believe that any other treatment that they are offering you is going to be for a cure, but rather just to continue pushing that rock up the hill? And I guess on the other side, I almost had a hard time concentrating on the conversation yesterday. I found myself kind of flopping around a little bit because I was in a panic of, wow, she's asking the question, but does she want to know the answer to the question? Mm. And the truth is, in my heart, I was thinking, if there is a way to compassionately say to you that it really will be better for you to digest that information a little bit. And why? Because 6 months minimum, remember, hospice is not a death sentence at 6 months. But wouldn't you rather know and have 6 months to check things off of your bucket list than find out, you know, 5 days before, 2 weeks before, and then you're kind of stuck with the regret of, I don't have enough time to do everything I want to do, to invite family members, to say what I want to say, to prepare and...
But it's a tough thing, Kaylee, because you don't want to extinguish any hope they have of anything. You know, when that word is brought up, hospice, and you know that your loved one is not going to be cured, you do face the denial, and you do have still that little bit of hope. And I guess we all hope for miracles, right?
Well, right. While you're 100% true that we don't want to squash hope, I think what I'm asking is, how do we explain to listeners that hope never dies? A higher quality of life begins.
Yeah.
It really is helpful to stop the anxiety and the fruitless fight and enjoy. And in my own situation, and I wished that I would have had an opportunity to really express to this lady, these two women that called me, the truth is, with my own mom, it was really hard to hear those words. And I walked out of the doctor's office exactly like you say, absolutely not, stupid doctor. As a matter of fact, my mother literally said, stupid doctors, what do they know? And we drove home. But I did have to plant that seed of consideration and wonder. And while we never, ever gave up hope, and we did not give up hope, us being absolutely ignorant about what the word hospice meant, we accepted the offer of hospice and went on hospice and never stopped hoping and fighting our own battle with holistic medicines. And we continued to do everything that we wanted to do. But boy, we had an opportunity to have family come in all the way from England, from all over the United States to spend time with her siblings that lived afar to come back and, you know, enjoy memories, creating memories with her. So I think time is your friend, boy, and benefits really increase, coverage increases too.
And I think it's important to realize that, you know, we've tossed the word 6 months out there, and there's no guarantees one way or the other, but Medicare feels that that's an appropriate amount of time to accomplish all of the things or many of the things that hospice could provide. Not that at the point that your doctor makes a recommendation of hospice, he was able to say, yes, you have 180 days or, you know, somewhere close to 180 days. He was able to determine that, A, there's nothing really left that he can do that's going to change the outcome. And he made that recommendation only after he considered whether or not he thought the person that was receiving the information was ready for it.
Right. And let me say that again. 6 months, we really don't know. We don't know how long somebody's going to live. There's so many factors that impact that. 6 months is really just the way that Medicare kind of prevents hospice companies that are a little unscrupulous from putting every 65-year-old on hospice and taking 100% benefits before they're really non-curative in their illness.
Right.
So 6 months was kind of a generalization to give an average of time for a company, not a person. And that's important to remember. When hospice is brought up, it doesn't mean, oh, you're dying in 5 days, 2 weeks, 6 months. You know, we have patients that might live on hospice a year, and I've heard of 2 and 3 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it means that your illness is no longer curative. So any of the fights that you and anxiety that you are feeling about, we've got to keep fighting. You don't give up the hope of the fight, but you can really start enjoying the quality of the life.
Now, while many people have had an extended period on hospice, it's important to understand that depending on your doctor, depending on your circumstances and his feelings and the relationship you have, he may not make a recommendation when he believes there's 6 months left. We have many doctors who have stated that they try and time it to 2 weeks or even 3 or 4 days.
Hmm.
And much of that may be because the doctor was hoping that you'll figure it out on your own. This will become so self-evident that I will never have to say that there's nothing I can do, you're going to pass away. You'll either pass away or you'll know that there's really nothing left, that somebody's declined to a point where there's no question. And that avoids the conversation. Or a doctor is going to say, well, I don't want to have them give up hope, so I don't want to introduce that idea any earlier than I probably need to, and so maybe 2 weeks, maybe a month. So that's the possibility. But the truth is that if your doctor or anybody has introduced those two words, hospice or palliative care, to you, they've already given careful consideration to whether or not that is a legitimate, appropriate consideration. And if it is, it's under the understanding that your doctor would expect that you may not live 6 months or more.
Now, we need to know the rest of the story, Kaylee. Did you tell them? Did you explain to them what it means?
Andy, I didn't. And I tossed and turned about this all night long. I kept thinking, they asked the question, were they trying to get me to answer fully, to take that away? But
it was an exploratory telephone call that they were making. We didn't know them at all.
Right.
If we had had a chance to sit down and talk to them, that would have made
a
difference.
I wasn't looking into their eyes. I couldn't feel their body language through the phone.
Nor did we have their medical plan.
And I didn't want to hurt them, and I didn't want to assume that I knew something about their medical circumstance that I didn't. It was just this feeling that I had, a question that I was asking myself, are they really asking what the doctor meant by that? Because when they both of them opened up with, we are not ready for hospice, and in my mind I thought, wait a second, you brought up that word, which means a doctor probably brought
somebody
it up.
Said it,
yeah. And so is it that you're just not ready to hear the word hospice or to accept that? Because no matter what you do at the end of that fight, the word hospice and the definition still exists. Probably isn't a cure remaining.
And they probably Googled it before they called you, too, so they probably actually already knew the answer.
Well, and I really believe that this radio program is doing some good.
Yeah.
And I believe that there are listeners who have reached out and talked to people and given them some information so that they can move forward, and we really appreciate that. That was our goal, and we really appreciate everybody who's helped that in talking to people they know and encouraging, whether that was a family member, about the more information that's available. And I think that really is what encouraged these phone calls, was people knowing that both palliative and hospice are words now, And while they didn't have a complete understanding,
I want to know the definition and how it applies to me,
right.
How it can.
Yeah.
And what I really tried to focus on, and I guess that's kind of the next step in this conversation, is I really tried to explain really how beautiful palliative care can be. I mean, it is. It was created to eliminate stresses and to help you really enjoy life longer. And we've quoted statistics before. Families who take advantage of hospice live on average of 32 days longer. Was it 32? I might be confusing my numbers.
It was a month for just hospice.
Okay.
And 32 days additionally for palliative care.
Which is 62 days for palliative, a healthy, robust palliative program. That in itself should tell you that accepting the benefits of hospice, while it won't change the outcome, it can actually extend life at a higher quality and more give you more opportunity to enjoy. So question to you, Andy, and there's a couple of things. Don't let me forget to talk about this. We had a scenario about a patient who had a conversation with their doctor and then Richard knows exactly where I'm going. Don't let me forget to tell that story. But then, Andy, so would it be better to know that you have, we're just going to say 6 months to a year, right? Or would it be better to find out at the very end, 2 weeks, so that you don't have to live with that foregoing knowledge? What's better?
Yeah, if we actually put on the table that we are all going to pass away and that there's a day.
I think that's something that we all have to accept.
Right.
I mean,
sure.
There is a day that each of us are going to pass away, and we don't know what that is. But if we could say we know that it is limited, and let's just say we'll use that 6 month standard. Let's say that reasonably somewhere around 6 months you're going to pass away. Is that a better thing to know or to not know? And in the alternative is to find out that you had that somebody knew you had 6 months, but they only told you 2 weeks before. You're going to pass
5 days.
Five days before.
I think in that instance, I'd be unhappy with them. I'd be like, wait a minute, you didn't tell, you know. I will say this, and I talked about hope earlier, but also it's almost a disbelief. Like it's not really that.
It's hard to accept that our parents are going to leave us.
That's how it was with me. They put my mom on hospice, and they said, you know, and I didn't talk to them, but I talked to her and my dad, and they said 6 months, and or so, and I was like, oh, I don't believe that.
Yeah.
Because
she seemed okay,
you know.
And no amount of logic is going to change that.
Right. Right.
You know, those are personal feelings that we have, and logic doesn't necessarily resolve that.
Well, my daughter was at the office yesterday and heard my phone call, and when I hung up, both times I turned to her and said, oh! You know, the first time I said, would you want to hear that, Lacey? Would you want to hear? Would you want to know if a doctor believed that my illness was no longer curative? Would you want to hear that? And she said, well, you could say it, but I wouldn't believe it. I can't imagine that. And then, you know, she almost got teary and said, you're not going to die. I said, we're not even talking about me. And then a few hours later, I got another phone call, and she heard again, and I turned and looked at her, and she said, I don't want to talk about this. And I was like, oh.
Yeah, we don't. We don't want to talk about it.
Right, right.
So my wife wants to tell this one story, and I'm going to preface this with, we're talking about that. Do you want to know 6 months before, or do you want to know just a few days before? And that was the exact scenario that came up.
And I think this is what causes me such turmoil in the heart, is looking back on this family situation and thinking, I wish I would have said more. I wish that was different. And here's what happened. In January of this year, we got a phone call from a family who the daughter was trying to help the mother and father. The mom had Alzheimer's and the dad was elderly and had his own illnesses that he was dealing with. And it was just really overwhelming to deal with the extensive measures that the mom was requiring. The daughter worked full time, and while she checked on her mom and dad every single day and spent a lot of time with them on weekends, she just did not have the time necessary to help this family. So, or her parents, I'm sorry. So she called us and said, will you evaluate my parents? And by the way, when she called us for our services, it really, honestly, the idea that her parents were ever going to die had never entered her head. She just wanted to know, are there benefits available? Are there services available? Is there anything you can do? Well, we request this medical evaluation, and as soon as I saw it, I thought, wow, I don't think you've realized just how many issues your mom is dealing with right now. And I kind of segued into that, but wasn't really 100% direct. I just asked, have you read your mom's medical records and did you read the doctor's narratives? And she said, oh, I've been at every appointment. So I said, so you understand the medical issues that your mom's dealing with? And she said, oh, absolutely. I work at a doctor's office. I understand all that. So I thought, okay, good enough. She understands. So I said, well, your mother is definitely hospice eligible. And we wrote out a plan of care that included daily visits and assistance with the parents while she was at work, to help with the mom, to allow the dad to take naps, to help with house cleaning and meal preparation. And, we offered many, many compassionate service plans and options.
Along with all of the medical services
that are
part of hospice.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, I think maybe part of the problem was her mom wasn't in any pain, so she didn't see that there was any, consequences looming in her mom's demise. So we went to the doctor, and the doctor said, oh, no, she's not ready for hospice. Not that she wasn't eligible, but she's not ready for hospice. So I went back to the daughter and I said, well, you can talk to the doctor because hospice is all about choice, and you can say that we're ready for this, but the doctor doesn't feel like you are ready. And I guess what I should have said a little bit more clearly is the doctor doesn't think that you're emotionally ready to hear it. So she actually called the doctor and said, we could really use the benefits and the help. And the doctor said, I just don't think you're ready for hospice. And so, honestly, we ended up still going in and helped at our own expense, just as a community service. We still helped with family compassionate service and homemaking services, but we did not put her on hospice. In May, we got a call from the daughter, and the daughter said, I talked to the doctor today, and guess what? We're hospice eligible. We can accept hospice.
We're ready for hospice. That's what he said. You're ready for hospice.
Right, right. Mm-hmm. So we immediately started coming in and providing hospice services. And let me just say that, again, the mom wasn't in any pain. So not a single dose of medication was ever provided. I mean, it was there if she needed it, but was not administered. She never used anything. But she just really got all the compassionate care and the help from nurses and CNAs and medical equipment and, homemaking services, and all of that was all in place. We had her house deep cleaned and we had everything ready. Well, her mom ended up passing in 9 days, and she came back and said to me, why didn't you tell me sooner? And I was like, I thought I did. I'm so sorry. So it's a hard conversation to have, but how much information do we give you? Maybe you need to just hear the word and say, when you first get that initial seed of, I'm not ready for hospice, maybe we should realize that nothing you really do at that point is really going to change it. But if you have questions, concerns?
Yeah, if we want to answer those. Certainly, this radio program gives everybody a little better understanding, so you won't be quite so blindsided by those words. And we want that understanding to be broader in the community. So give us a call, Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. Telephone number 435-477-6999. Or you can email us, either Richard or Kaylee, at pathwayhospicecare.com. We would love to talk to you anyway.
You can also go to our website, but I think, which is pathwayhospicecare.com. It's important to for all of our listeners out there, if you have questions, can you give us a little preface up front and tell us how much you really want to know? That would help. Thanks,
guys.